This episode is proudly sponsored by The Memo.
Hello, yummy mummies. Welcome to Beyond the Bump, a podcast brought to you by Jade Caldwell and Sophie Pierce. This podcast is targeted at mums, mums-to-be, and women in general. And gents, feel free to have a listen too. It's a place to have real discussions and ask real questions, no matter how hard, with honest and authentic people. The aim is to have you feeling lighter, more supported, and more understood after every listen. Now, we can't promise that it will always be kept PG, so please be mindful around little ears.
Here we go.
Hello, Jade.
Hello, Sophie.
Hello, Harry.
Hello.
Hello, Nick.
Hello, everybody.
We have two very special guests on the podcast today to finish off the year. It's become a little bit of a tradition that we get our husbands in to see out the year. So
finish
thank you so much. Finish with a bang.
Absolutely.
Got to finish on a high.
Now, can you guys do us a favor? Can you just talk us through what we usually do every week with our intro? So what's the next step? What would we be saying next?
Your
highs and lows for the week.
Oh my God.
All the words out of my mouth.
I listen to most of them.
You do not.
But you call it something else,
don't
you?
He's a shit talker.
How did you know that?
I've listened to one and it was the one I was on. The two hours.
Okay, here's the next test. What are the two segments that we talk about in the morning?
Mum hacks.
Yes.
Well done.
And
he won't know
like,
this because this wasn't in his episode.
Yeah,
it was a year ago.
No, yeah,
it's like people screwing up or something. There's like
oh yeah, there's a funny quip you say.
Yeah.
Rude or fabulous?
Rude or fabulous.
Well
that's
done.
What I was
well
that's
done.
Little,
I'm actually quite impressed.
Yes.
I'm quite impressed.
That's what I was trying to find when you were saying highs and lows. That's what I was trying to think of was the rude or fabulous.
All right, now highs and lows of the week, Jade and Harry.
All right, highs have to be that we are nearly on a Christmas break and we can go down and see my family. Haven't seen them for most of them for 3 years. Obviously, my parents and a few people we have, they've come up here, but we are just so beyond excited. So touch wood, it all goes to plan and, yeah, we can see them.
Is that your high as well?
Oh, my high was getting a new motorbike, but
a bit
more materialistic.
What
did you get? I got a Honda 110.
Okay, yes. Enough of that. Any lows this week? The new motorbike?
Yeah, for my low is the motorbike for sure. He's like, hey, babe, look at my Christmas present. And I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Not where, it's brand.
Yeah, great. Okay, what about you guys? Highs?
High of the week is that I feel like I'm at the point where I can nearly touch the brake. So I don't know if it'll be good news or bad news for our listeners.
The motorbike brake?
No, but we are going on a break after this episode, I think for about a month. And I feel like as much as we love doing this, we both need it. That's my high. The low would be that we were meant to be moving into our new house next week. And that will not be happening this side of Christmas. So
everyone wants to get in before Christmas.
I know, but we were going to be getting in. The house wasn't going to be finished. There was still going to be dust everywhere.
Oh, no.
The yard wasn't going to be done.
No.
It was getting a bit silly.
Yeah.
So what about you, Nick? Highs and lows of the week.
My high is that this week is almost over and my low is that I'm currently still midway through this week. No, I'm a little bit under the weather. I don't have COVID. I did a test. But
thank God.
Yeah, we had a lot to do this week and we're nearly through it.
You're nearly through
Nick's
it.
Nick's been crawling through the week,
yeah,
basically.
So, yeah, I'll be looking forward to putting a line through this one.
A line?
A line. No. Where are you putting it?
All right, moving right along.
Yeah. As much as you guys got it right that the next segment is normally mum hacks and rude or fabulous, we are going to soldier on straight into this week because I feel like a lot of the things that people wrote in are rude or fabulous anyway. So we asked you guys what your parenting pickles are. So these are, I guess, like awkward conversations or awkward situations that might be to do with your kids or your in-laws or in being parents. We actually thought this was going to be quite a jovial episode, but
it's
some
heavy.
Of the questions or pickles that were sent in are fucking heavy. So,
and also disclaimer, we just want to say that this is not what you should do and what we think you should do. When we answer, this is purely just what we personally would do.
If we were put on the spot to do it as well.
Full disclaimer, I don't see myself in any position to give advice to anyone.
Don't do as I say or do.
Yeah, I'm just going to say what I would do and what I think personally.
If you follow what
we say and your entire family falls apart, do not come running to us.
It's not our fault. All right. Are you ready, boys?
It is.
Cool.
That literally.
All right, Nick. My sister-in-law is always telling me what to do with my baby. How do I put up boundaries?
Interesting. I personally would start telling her what to do with another topic until the point where it annoys her so much. And then I would say, so now you know how it feels with the advice that you give me with parenting.
Yeah,
so
that is 100% not what you
would do. That's not petty at
all. That could never end badly.
Well, that's one tactic.
You've got to tell us what you personally would do in this moment.
Well, I personally feel I'm really comfortable with like telling people how I feel. So I would just talk to them and I would bring the thing up and just say, listen, this is where I'm at with parenting, and by you doing that, it's really stopping me from being able to enjoy your company.
Mm.
And that, you know, if you want to continue this relationship, it's something that you need to work on if we're going to stay friends. Or
I think that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A really funny one is actually we went out one night. I can't remember whose birthday it was. And there was this blind drunk chick and it was getting to the end of the night. And she like came and sat at this table and she was like sort of checking out like who had wedding rings or whatever. And we'd previously asked her like not to sit down because she was just like really annoying. And then we were like, whatever. And then she just decided to sit down and just blabber. And I just had to stop her and say, like, everyone was feeling this way. I was like, no one's going to say anything to her. So I just had to say, I'm really sorry, but I'm not enjoying this interaction. And I know what you're looking for and you're not going to get it here. So I'd recommend you just...
So you're good at confrontation like that. You can just go ahead.
Yeah, because things make me feel like uber uncomfortable. I feel like I just deal with it straight away.
See, it's funny because for me, like my old self, I'm in a new self right now, but my old self would always like deflect in confrontation, but then I would absolutely stew over it in my head. I've learned it's taken a lot of time to actually learn to.
Was that just the other side of your 1.5 day juice plan?
Yes. 3 days ago. Yeah. But that was fucked. But in all seriousness, I can't tell you how important it is to have that. I know it's a seriously ugly conversation to be confrontational with someone, but once it's off your chest and they understand, you guys can move on.
And I think you can almost approach it like as a compliment sandwich. Like you can be like, ooh, it's so amazing like how much you know about motherhood and you seem to like really know a lot about like sleep or like what babies should eat, but I also really need to figure some of this stuff out for help.
Yeah.
But don't worry, like if I ever need help, you'd be the first person I'd come to, or something in a way that it's like
back it up with a compliment.
Yeah.
It's a sandwich. Yeah. One on top, middle.
I go for the open sandwich. I'm just like, stop doing that. Yeah. I don't like mustard in my sandwich. Take it out.
Harry, I think my husband will be absolutely useless during birth. He squirms at the word vagina and the thought of a C-section makes him white. I'm thinking it would be better to do it alone so I don't have to look after him in labor. What are your thoughts? Will my husband feel like he's missed out or be happy to swan in once the baby already arrives?
He sounds like the type of guy that would probably happily sit this one out, but that shouldn't be an option. He should be in there helping out and be a support network for his partner. And that does sound ridiculous. However, I don't know the context of his situation. Squeamish at the word vagina. Like, come on, that's ridiculous. But I don't know. He might.
But let's say hypothetically he's like you and he is in the hospital room and like sits and reads a book in the chair.
I'm in there for like 12 hours and I'm having a read.
Maybe taking distractions in so that when it does get too much for him, as much as that sounds ridiculous because the woman's the one, like she's in labor, but like maybe he needs to take distraction things in with him so that when it gets too much, he can check out.
It's compromise. Yeah, you got to reach a compromise. He needs to be in there. It's his child. It's his wife, partner. They're going through this together. And maybe she can use an alternative word for
JoJo.
Yeah.
Like what?
Like vag.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
I reckon it's like a rite of passage as well.
Maybe he likes pussy. I don't know.
Oh, you can't say pussy in the birth suite.
I don't know if you're allowed to say pussy ever.
Yeah.
You're right. You're not.
Other than in porn, I don't think pussy ever gets used. I reckon this guy sounds like he would benefit from some like antenatal classes. I feel like maybe if he understood it more, because I think, Nick, even before we had Poppy, you were kind of like, oh, you know, like I think I'm going to like stay a bit more at the head end type thing. And then once we went to an antenatal course, Nick was like, I'm delivering this thing. Like I think it completely my biggest changed concern his mindset. Was
like it would like desexualize the organ.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I know it might sound weird, but it's like I thought for some reason like seeing. Yeah, it does a little bit, but in a way it kind of also does the opposite, I find, in like a good way. Like,
ooh.
Yeah. No, but as in like it's like you see your wife in a different light, and I think it's an opportunity for him to like.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautiful, and it's also like there's going to be much tougher times, I feel like, having kids than seeing that delivery. So like if you're already sort of allowing him to tap out of the hard stuff, it's only going to get harder. So
he's
like,
got, bottom line is he's got to suck it up a little bit.
Yeah.
He's got to be in there. And these are words that have been in the dictionary and being used for, you know, centuries. So he's got to just get used to it.
Perhaps you need to do a night where every night you say vagina,
25 times.
Yeah, vagina, vagina. Staring contest.
He has to play chicken with a vagina.
Okay, Sophie.
I'm nervous.
How do I ask my husband to get a fertility test? We are having trouble getting pregnant.
Okay, well, this is much like the last one. You ask him to get one because you are a couple that is trying to have a baby. And I think this old school, like, put the blame on a woman because she must be the reason that you're infertile needs to go. It's, you know, there's just as high chance that it is an issue with the sperm, which is fine. It doesn't make him less of a man if he has some issues with his sperm. But I think it's totally outrageous for your partner to not think that that is a completely acceptable thing to be asked of him.
Is he scared? Is he scared to go get one because he's scared of what he might find, or doesn't want to get one because of it?
I think also perhaps a nice way of doing it is saying,
hey, mine was maybe a bit direct.
Well, no, but that's fine. That's I would just say, hey, we're having trouble. We haven't conceived in X amount months. I think we should both do a test. I'm going to get my eggs tested. Whether you do or not, whatever, but it makes you seem like you're also a part of this issue that's happening. Yeah. So he thinks, okay, well, I'm going to do my part. She's doing her part. And it doesn't focus on him directly.
And also, if like the fertility issues are enough that you are about to undertake treatment, there's also the option that like, you won't go ahead with treatment unless the sperm has been checked. So if you're that afraid to have the discussion, well, your doctor will ask for that to happen. But I do think it's kind of like the last one where it's like you need to get comfortable with these discussions if you're going down the route of having a baby, because it takes sperm, it takes eggs, it might take a root. That's what I think.
True that.
Okay, Jade. My partner doesn't wake up to the kids no matter how hard I try. Nothing wakes him. What would you do? Can you speak from any kind of personal experience?
Can I just jump in now? I'll speak for personal experience. He's not asleep. He's pretending to be asleep, just like I do. Put on the snore, put on the heart.
Do you know the funniest part?
Yeah, you'll see.
Is we do it too.
Yeah. But I've like.
He's faking it.
Look, I could think of all these great ideas, but we have to think of what I would do. And I get up for the first or second time, and then by the third time I know he's not asleep, because when like I get in bed after 2 minutes or 2 seconds he's like and I'm like, as if. So what I would do is then donkey kick, or just say, hey, I've really had enough, I've been up twice, can you please get the fuck up? If he does not, I mean, you don't have to swear, but I would. That's what I would do. If he doesn't get up, put the lights on, take the doona off, and just say, I need help. I need you to help. And hopefully he will then get the point.
And then maybe have a discussion in the daylight hours as well, being like, there's no point of you getting up to do it if I have to wake you up so much that then I'm so awake that I may as well be up anyway.
Let me give you a really quick example. Last week I was literally woken up. Yeah, I was woken up because Harry was snoring so loud next to me in bed. Yumi was in the middle of us. I decided to go on the couch because I needed sleep. Now, I was just getting to sleep and I hear her screaming. And she went for about 5 minutes and I thought, gosh, maybe Nick's like not in the room. Like if she's still screaming, I get up, walk down the hallway, turn the light on. He's got two pillows over his head and she's just sitting next to him crying. And I said, are you actually kidding me? Like, did you not even turn over to see that she...
There's a bit to it. This
I'd love to hear it.
So think of like the Western like theme song where it's two gunslingers. That one. I thought you were next to me asleep and I said, I'm going to go to the end with this one. I'm going to see who can outlast the other one. So she's screaming and I thought you were next to me the whole time. So I'm sitting there with the pillow going, all right, she'll get her up soon. I had no idea you weren't in the room. I thought you were next to me. So I'm sitting there.
You thought you were playing a game.
I thought this was a battle of like who can go to the end, who can battle it out, who's got the most gumption to really ride this one out. And then she comes in going off her head, which is understandable. And I poke my head out of these two pillows clamped over my ears and realize what's going on. And yeah, I didn't win that battle, but that's what I thought. I thought I was waiting for you to get to deal with her.
Next time, babe, maybe just like peel your eyes open and just see, read the room.
Well,
read the room.
If you peel your eyes open, you lose. That means you're awake.
Nick and I used to have an unspoken game when Poppy was a newborn and it was called Nappy Mountain. And it was neither of us wanted to be the one who had to take out the nappy bin in her room. So we would stack those things like it was like Jenga. You didn't want to leave them in there, did you? Oh, it fucking stank. It was so wrong. But I lost every time because Nick's way messier than I am. So he could put up with so much. Whereas I'd get to the point where I'm like, our poor child is probably going to like suffocate on fecal fumes in the air. Have pink eye or something. We never really spoke about it. We just kind of battled, but we've gotten better. Yeah.
Good.
Jade likes to load up my bookshelf with wet nappies.
That's nice.
Not soiled nappies, thank God, but wet nappies, three tiers of nappies. I said, this is for books. Like, can you see it? You put your teas up there. She puts the rubbish up there.
I just want to say, I figure if I'm changing the nappies, he can take them out. End of story.
You just leave them there and walk past them.
Harry, I want three kids, but my husband doesn't. He says he will if it means that much to me, but I don't want him to resent me and for me to ruin his life because of it. Oh, that's a bit close to home.
How do you know?
I mean, what?
Nah, yeah. So this is very topical, isn't it, this question? Well, we had two kids pretty close back to back. I was young. And
I wasn't.
Jade always said that she wanted three. She always said that. And I always just thought, three. Yeah, you want three. I want five. I want to, do with this.
On a Lamborghini.
Yeah, I want to fornicate with bloody whoever, Pamela Anderson.
All right.
I don't know. We all want these things. I don't know if you're going to get them. And anyway,
she's a third child versus 40 with Pamela Anderson.
And she's like 50 now.
I know. Yeah. You would have been two when
I
she was
I might
four.
Even have a chance, actually.
Yeah, I reckon.
She's washed
Continue,
up.
Continue, please.
Yeah, and I just thought, you want three kids, fair enough. And anyway, she said maybe in 2 or 3 years, after Billy. And I just took that as, 2 or 3 years, 2 or 3 years we'll be moving on and won't think anything of it. Next second, I blink and it's been, 4 years?
No, 3.5.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, she's on me straight away. Oh, not literally, but I would like a third child. I think I'm ready. I really want it. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, try to deflect it a little bit. And then she was dead serious. Like, I really, this is what I wanted. This is what I, and I knew she wanted it. And I actually spoke to your parents. I said to her, oh, Jade, like another child. I don't feel financially.
But tell them your hesitation as to why you weren't ready.
Oh, there's a thousand reasons. There's the we got through two kids that were happy and healthy. Like I really was scared about.
We just got through the baby phase.
Yeah, I was a little, and I was talking like total, health, physical sort of things. And then there's the psychological stress of it all. And, I wanted to go back to uni or focus on work or career or whatever it was. I just thought we'd seen the light at the end of the tunnel. The kids were both toddlers now or older in school, and I really saw like the light at the end of the tunnel, as in, I don't mean it was a horrible experience. I just mean, okay,
a new phase
of life. We can go back to, you know, my whole 20s, I've had been having kids and raising children quite young. And I said to Jade's parents, I said, hey, look, financially, you know, I don't know if 3 would be like advisable. I don't know if I could take the load mentally. I don't know if I could physically. And I thought they would back me straight away and say, yeah, that's a very smart and conscious decision that you've made. Instead, it was the total opposite. It was, that's what she wants. You know, I think that's what she deserves. I think she deserves. And I said, whoa. And she's like, and they said, you know, we'll help anytime we can. Like, we'll, you know, we're always happy to help and fly down and fly up and, you know, all that sort of stuff. And so that was my little, I thought that was going to be my little way out. And anyway, so that
she was an only child. So that, yeah, yeah.
And I forgot that they would love a third grandchild too. So, yeah. So anyway, I literally didn't have a choice, and I made the decision to have another child with her. And what happened was Yumi ended up being, I was scared as well. I was like, didn't know how it was going to go, all that sort of stuff, all that trepidation. And she ended up being not my favorite, but she just reminded me of the joys of having a little baby and a new baby and a new face. And it was just, she's incredible, and but it was awesome.
On the flip side of that, so my story is, did I pressure him to do something that I really, really wanted? I had this yearning that I really, like, that maternal instinct of I really need. It was something I've not felt before. It was a real urge to have another one. And I really didn't listen to what he was saying. Like, nothing he said I took in and said, oh, yep, I understand that. We'll wait 6 months. Like, he wasn't saying no. He was just saying not now, but I wouldn't listen to him. So to be honest, I think you guys, before you have a third, need to come to some sort of agreement, because there was a time in our lives when we had the third that, look, there were a few comments in arguments that were thrown about,
I've got to say, it's one of my regrets, and I'm not proud of it, but it's when we decided to have Yumi, our third, this is quite personal, but Jade said, I'll do everything. I will do everything. Yeah. And I said, Jade, like, I seriously, our kids are just going to school. Like, I want to go back and start my career or whatever it is I was doing. Like, I really, you know, I really want to think about this, and money and all that sort of stuff is a bit of a worry. And Jade said, I'll do it all. I'll take care of it all. And I kind of used that against her in some probably tough moments where I'm like, well, this is tough. I knew it was going to be tough.
Yeah, I told you
so. I didn't want it. And I wanted to do the whole, I told you so.
Yeah.
And I did say that in so many ways. Yeah. And it wasn't nice. And even as recent as this year, when he's going off, I go, well, this wasn't in the contract. This was not in the contract, Jade. So, you know, this is up to you, but you know.
But look, we've really had a lot of conversations about how much that affects me, and we've rejigged a few things, and it is getting a little bit easier now. But getting back to the question, I honestly, you genuinely need to have that sit down conversation and get to a happy medium, because I really don't think that it's fair for one person to say, yes, this is what I want, and the other person to go, all right, I'm just going to agree. Because at the end of the day, you know, no one can do everything on their own with 3 kids, and they shouldn't have to, and he wants to be a part of it.
And I think it's one of those things that, like, being a partnership, especially when you're parents, is all about compromise and, you know, respecting what the other person wants. But I don't think it can go as far as, like, you really want a child, they do not want a child at all, so we're going to have a child. Like, there has to be some kind of, and unfortunately you can't, like, kind of half have a child. It is kind of one or the other. But I think if they're, like, adamant, it's going to be really difficult to do that. But then at the same time, I think if you have a child, like, once you meet them, you're probably never going to regret it.
Her conviction for having a third child was the most powerful I'd ever seen. Mm. So I've never seen her want something more. You're lucky she's my favourite.
Who, me? Love you, darling.
No, you.
Yeah. And on top of that, I think fatherhood out of all of this, like, he, because I just couldn't do all of it. Not that I ever did it all, but I was happy to do majority, because I was just, I had all the time. Now that I work and he works and we have this life balance and I had postnatal depression, he had to be like a big primary carer for the children. And that has been the biggest reward out of having three kids and this, you know, seesaw conversation.
Isn't that weird though that something as difficult as postnatal depression has potentially in the long run set you up for a more balanced, you know, stress-free life, even though at the time I imagine it was like the hardest thing you'd ever been through and you probably could never have seen a positive coming out of it at all.
No. So there you go. We hope we answered your question.
We'll be back in a minute with more Beyond the Bump goodness after this short break.
Picture this. Uh-huh. A shopping trip gone wild. Goldie's darted one way, Pearl's in full scream mode, and Poppy, well, she's eyeing off those bloody merry-go-rounds again like it's her job. Meanwhile, I'm just trying to remember why I even bothered leaving the house.
Sounds like a perfect moment for the memo to step in. No more public meltdowns or chasing kids through aisles. Just you, your phone, and a peaceful shopping experience from the comfort of your chaos-free home.
With the memo, it's like having a personal shopper for everything baby related. From Bear Mum to Haka, it's all there. And the one-on-one virtual service, a lifesaver for avoiding those merry-go-round negotiations.
Yes, plus they've got this awesome deal, 15% off when you spend $100 with code in capitals, BeyondTheBump15, and with free delivery on orders over $149. And same-day dispatch, it's goodbye shopping drama and hello hassle-free day.
So check out thememo.com.au, that's thememo.com.au, and let the memo make your life a bit easier, because the only spins we need are the ones from those merry-go-rounds in a perfect tantrum-free world.
Oh, that was nice. Now back
to the show. I've got one for Nick.
Hear me.
How can I increase my libido postpartum? Our child is 6 months old and we've only had sex 4 times.
I'll lend you some of mine.
That's not bad
enough. I was going to say.
Six months old.
And they've only had sex 4 times, but you are not alone in that at all.
I think we've beaten that record, I reckon.
Yeah, and this is the stigma. Like, you know, 6 weeks, everyone should be having sex. I reckon 90%, I don't know where I'm pulling that figure from, but 90%. Of couples after they've had a baby are not
<You're ass.
laughs> are not like having sex.
And I think you get this tick off physically that yeah, you're ready to have sex, but that doesn't mean mentally you're ready or like energy wise you're ready or any of that. Anyway, Nick, but it's your question.
Yeah, thanks, ladies.
Sorry.
Yeah, I think it's so dependent. Like you said, you know, I haven't heard that 6 weeks thing, but obviously everyone's experience is different. I know for me, from the male perspective, if I feel like it's like a I don't like charity sex. So it's like if I feel like, you know, your partner is giving it to you because they feel like it's just been however long and they're trying to, you know, tick that off for you, I personally really don't like that feeling. And I feel like I'm pretty good at reading if I feel like Soph's not into it. So, yeah, I would say like I don't personally know how you kind of, you know, kick your libido off. But yeah, I know I really enjoy that time together and I feel like we prioritize it. And I would say out of the two of us, I'm more the instigator normally, but we've had a lot of conversations about, you know, like both of us instigating and for like Soph to instigate it when she feels like it, because then you feel like as the male, you're not always pestering your partner.
It's something that we like reassess like quarterly.
Yeah. We jokingly call it my thyroid, that I've got an overactive thyroid. I know that's not like medically
correct.
But yeah, for me, it's like something that when you are both individuals before you become, you know, mum and dad, it's something that, yeah, you might have prioritized before. It doesn't mean you don't have to prioritize it once you become a family, but finding new ways to like embrace it where you both feel like it and having those conversations. Cause yeah, you do get to the end of the day and I was about to say you're rooted, but you're not, you may not want that, but you're really tired and you don't feel, one of you don't feel like it. So you have to have those discussions because otherwise resentment can build up. So, you know, first of all, if you're trying to find your libido back, I think you need to have an open and honest conversation because it's probably like the anxiety and the fear around it that is causing you to have a low libido. Whereas if you hear your partner go, listen, you come to me when you're ready.
Yeah.
And then they might feel that pressure's off them and then, you know, they're keen to jump back on the horse. literally. Yeah.
And for the partner though, like, a subtle hint, like subtle hints of like, you know, you look beautiful, or like just beautiful compliments here and there. Like it sinks in. So if you're feeling, because usually after you've given birth, you don't feel like
sexy.
You don't feel sexy. But if like Harry walk past me and I'm getting dressed, and he'll like, you know, I don't know if this sounds really wrong, but like slap me on the ass or go, oh, you something look great, like, you know. But this, for me, I might go away, get off me, but it's in my head and I'm like, oh, he thinks I'm sexy.
You
so
don't mean it.
Then, so then in, come here, big later boy. On, later on, I actually act on that.
And I think that it's always expected that you go from like mother to lover in a click of a finger. And like for a lot of women, and I'm sure a lot of men out there, there needs to be like, sure, of course, foreplay is good for that. But also like, if you're in the trenches of parenthood, it's really hard to go from like, oh, fuck, finally the kid's down. All right, yeah, I'm going to jump you in bed. Well, like whether it's that or whether it's just having a conversation or like sitting down and having a nice dinner together or just like a little bit of touch here or there or a compliment here or there, rather than it just being like completely one or the other. Like it's really hard to go from like wiping a pooey bum to then being like, yeah,
but I think
reverse cowgirl.
Yeah, I reckon where that issue comes up though is like, I don't know how you feel about this, Harry, but from a male point of view, like particularly if your wife's been really sick during pregnancy, you might have had 9 months of a lot less, you
know,
a lot less activity. And then you have the baby and then you sort of have this excitement, and that can obviously be taken in the wrong way as well, because you're really excited to bring that back into your relationship. But that can again create expectations on your partner, which they may not be like ready to fulfill. So, you know, even that thing of like, we've had it in the past where I'm like, oh, sweet, like now's our chance, like let's go, you know, but Soph's like not keen and she's exhausted or whatever. But I think part of that is like the excitement to bring that back into it. So unless you have more open conversations, I can fully see how people get into these ruts where they, you know, both kind of resenting each other and
that's been in them.
And
oh, we go through phases where we're great and then we go through other phases and it's not sexually.
And you don't even know, sometimes you don't even know what causes it. You can't even put a finger on it. You don't know where you don't even know where it's coming from. But all of a sudden you can blink and you know you haven't had intercourse for 6 weeks.
I know that I'm just like, oh, why am I feeling like we're a bit disconnected? And then I have a think about it and I'm like, oh, it's been like a bit longer than normal for us. And then often we'll do it and I'll be like, why don't we do that more often? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was going to say, and it doesn't take long, but then that's probably a bit offensive. You know, but it doesn't have to be this grand thing.
Well, that was one of the conversations that we had was around like your priorities. And it's like so often that, you know, you might resonate with this, like you've got things you need to shoot during the day or whatever. And a lot of the time those things are at the top and making time to make love or just be together is at the bottom, you know. And there's been often times where Soph will write a to-do list and I write it in there, you know. I'm like, yeah, let's have a lunch break. Like,
that's great.
You know, and it's like, but how much better do you feel after you've had that time together and then go off for the day rather than it being the last thing on the list that you have to squeeze in at like some point.
Yeah.
I don't know, for me, I hang around like a bad smell and I'm fucking, I'm waiting for that, you know? Like, so it's just this like early. The air is thick and so it's like looking behind, I'm just like, so yeah, I think it's like you do need to get on the same page with it because, you know, everything's better and everything's flowing better. I feel like when there's that, you know, like love happening, you know? Yeah, totally. And that doesn't have to always necessarily be sex, but. That is great.
All right, Sophie. I'm anxious about going to work and my partner not following the routine for our one-year-old while I'm gone. What would you do?
Oh, I feel like you and I have spoken about this a lot on the podcast before, and it's that we understand that with friends, other family members that have kids, that there's so many different ways of parenting. Yet when it's our partner, like especially if you're more the stay-at-home or the more hands-on parent because they're out working or whatever, all of a sudden it's like, no, there's only one way to parent and it has to be your way and it's your way or the highway. And I think that can be really unfair for the other partner. I think if they're asking you like, oh, you know, what's so-and-so's routine to make their day easier, then sure, give it to them or give them a slight framework for the day. But you also have to, for their bond, for their confidence. Mm-hmm. And I would say if you can do it much earlier than one, that is great. Like I think if you can do it from the get-go, it actually makes your life as a mother or as a parent so much easier because they can do things without you and you don't have to be in control of it and overseeing it and checking in on it. They can just parent how they want to parent and they'll come to you if they've got questions or need help.
I started to see this when I had my second child because you don't have the time to focus on that one child. Mm. So you have to allow someone to help out.
Yeah.
And that's when I realized it doesn't matter that they do things differently. At the end of the day, that's their parenting style and they're doing it in a way like, yeah, I would probably do that differently or I'd clean up straight after I'd do that. But you can come back home after you go to work. And if they're happy and they've had a beautiful bond and they're together, don't worry about the house or the way that you do the routine or what time he slept. That's dad.
And if your child's a really routine baby and they don't go to sleep with your partner, your partner's going to come to you pretty quickly being like, okay, what do you put in place to get them to go to sleep? But they also do different things for different people. Like Goldie for us will not go down for her nap if she doesn't have a bottle. When she goes to daycare, we don't even pack a bottle for her. She's sleeping on a mother effing stretcher on the ground with no sides. There's other kids around. They're like up and playing and she's still sleeping. Like they do different things for different people. So I feel like your partner will come to you if all hell is breaking loose.
I think too, like that question, they're like trying to, I don't want to insinuate this, but it's almost like you're setting your partner up to fail.
Yeah.
Like so many people, like, you know, I don't work a normal job, but if you did and you didn't look after your kids that much, like the nice thing to do would be, hey, do you want to know like what the routine that I do is if you're the mum? And then if they go, yeah, cool, like tell me, oh, no, I'm sweet. Like let them jump into your shoes for a day and, yeah, maybe they will find it really hard. Maybe they won't. But the important thing is like allowing them to also like just have that crack at it. And I think, you know, so much of what we were saying before about communication, like how easy would it be as a dad just to be like, oh, well, stuff it. Like I'm not going to try because like you have this routine and I can't follow that.
And I've failed before I've even begun.
Yeah. But it's also like, you know, I've observed some partners and unfortunately a lot of it is on the mum side because they look after them so much where they kind of want the dad to fail almost. So they're like, you don't know how to do it.
I did this with my mum when we went to New York and we had the two kids. I wrote like a ridiculous, pretty much a manual on everything.
Yeah.
And I said, this is it, right? This is it if you need it. And like, I think on day two, dad said she cried because she couldn't believe how freaking hard it was. And then when I got back, she was like, I figured it out, but I only just realized that you left that there after you just before you got back. But, you know, it took her a while. But I think if they've got something there as a safety net, like if you need to look over something, here it is. But I'm not in your face saying you need to follow this.
And I'm not going to message you at 12:30 and go, okay, so is dad asleep? Yeah. Have they had their lunch? Did they eat 3/4 of the greens? Did da-da-da-da-da?
Chill.
Yeah.
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 Now, Jade, this is a big one we've spoken about before.
Oh.
But how do I get my partner to comprehend the mental load of a mother?
Well, firstly, we have an episode about the mental load. So perhaps, you know, get him to listen to that, because it does explain a lot and how we feel and what actually goes through our brains day to day. And
a lot of people have actually said they've got their partner to listen to it and it really helped.
And it helps us with the ratings. And no, I'm just sorry. But I think, look, for me, we were lucky because you never understand unless they're in that position or you hear them talk about it. So for Harry and I, we balance now our parenting and our house, not housework, but our like house life. So he completely understands just as much as I do the stress, the how quickly the house can get messy, the food, how quickly the kitchen can get disgustingly messy. He knows it all. So we don't have this conversation anymore if I come back from work or he comes back from work, because there's this mutual understanding that it has been a hard day with the kids, whoever's got them. And we mutually now understand like how much pressure it can be just being at home and doing all these tiny little things you never think about. So I guess, you know, everyone is doing the best they can for their family, whether they're at work and away, they probably want to be home and with the kids, or you want to be away. And I just think that if you can appreciate each other and have a communication that shows that you both understand. I mean, God, don't get us wrong. Like Harry and I fight about the house and who does more all the time. Like that's just what we do. But deep down,
whose work's more important?
Yeah, whose work's more important? Obviously mine. But you know, we at the end of the day know that we deep down understand that we're even.
And I think like you and I are in a unique situation where Nick and Harry, neither of them work kind of conventional hours or anything like that, but I think you can still do it even if your partner has conventional hours, where it's like
even on
when
weekend.
They're home or on the weekend, they do have to take on responsibilities and you do need time for yourself, and so you have to give them those responsibilities so that they can understand what it's like. And you can still divvy up those chores or the kid tasks. Like just because your partner works doesn't mean they can't help out with lunch boxes or whatever.
And just remember that when it is a weekend or your partner has a day off, you going to the supermarket alone isn't your like rest break. You need to actually go and do something. Nicholas.
Hi.
How to deal with an in-law showing favoritism to other grandkids?
Oh, us.
You guys have a fair few cousins.
We do. I mean, if anyone's guilty of it, it's Timmy Chippin, but I do feel like
towards Poppy.
Yeah, I think we all know
like he's
that.
Very open as to who his like golden children are.
I was the golden child growing up, and now Poppy's the golden grandchild.
Is she the oldest? Yeah.
She's the oldest. She was the first. But I think he's really starting to warm to the others now.
Yeah. it's not something I don't have a problem with it personally. Like,
but is that because it's your child?
Not at all.
But I think it's
Because
he's like kind of open about it and makes a joke about it rather than
and
just
he's not
like
mean to the other. It's just that like the excitement of him to become a grandfather was so such that Poppy was the first time that he felt that experience. The same as like, you know, I felt a lot more of a visceral experience when we had Poppy than when we had Goldie, just because it's your first birth, you know.
You can say it,
no, but then I would.
She's my favorite.
No, but then I would
I feel like
say
me and Goldie
that
are probably
you
closer,
and Goldie,
yeah.
Goldie have such a special bond.
Yeah, but no, it's not. Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. Where I could see it would be a problem is if it was like somehow then negatively impacting that other child where they're feeling unloved or whatever. In which case, you'd certainly say like, you know.
Like if it was like, oh, bloody blah, bought a present for Ivy, but they didn't buy one for Harper. I'm just pulling names out of my ass. And Harper got really upset. But then I think it's within your right to say, hey, I just want to let you know that like Harper knows that da-da-da got a present and it was really upsetting for her.
Yeah.
Like next time, do you think maybe you could get something for both of them?
Yeah, and whether that's like a grandparent or auntie or uncle, like that stuff's going to happen. And I feel like you need to, whoever asks this question obviously has a strong feeling about it. So they should act on that strong feeling and discuss it with a person. And then they might just go, oh, actually, yeah, sorry. Like, you know, and then if they don't, they're just an arsehole. No.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Yeah.
Oh, Harry, We have a 7-week-old and my husband wants to go away on a 3-day Bucks weekend. Is this even possible now? What would you do?
7-week.
Yeah.
Oh, that is early.
Yeah.
That is early. First child?
I'm assuming so.
Look.
I think if it's not the first child, it's also, whoa, very early.
Yeah, even worse, three kids, I'll see I'm going.
Yeah, but, you know, they have a bit more experience. I've pushed the boundaries a few times. I've done a few.
That you have, my friend. That you
I've
have.
Never done 3 days, though. Never done 3 days.
And it never is 3 days. That's the thing. 3 days Bucks weekend, you're out of action for a lot longer than 3 days.
Yeah, that's true. You know? That is true.
Yeah, 3 days is probably pushing it, I reckon. 3 days. And, you know, I've heard this from a lot of wives and partners and friends, girlfriends and whatnot about, they're like, Bucks party. What even are they anymore? They're like, you guys just want an excuse to go kick on and bender. And I now getting a little bit older, I can kind of see the significance in that. Yeah, it's probably a bit unnecessary. One day with the boys, celebrate, you know, before that you tie the knot and all that. Yeah, that's fair enough. But 3 days would be a little bit difficult and it would be a bit hard on the mum unless there's like a grandparent there to stay the night. And not everyone has that opportunity.
Mm. I reckon it's layered too. Like, is the problem the 3-day-ness of it, or is the problem that it's a Bucks party? Because if the problem is that it's a Bucks party, it's like, is the issue that there's trust issues there? Because with Bucks parties comes assumptions about what people
Strippers.
Do. But I do think at 7 weeks, your first child, 3 nights is a long time to be away unless you can put things in place like a grandparent, like a family friend, whatever to help.
It's all relative. If you're lucky enough to have the option to have a grandparent there for the, you know, to help look after the kids and help with the little things around the house, I think it's definitely possible. However, if we're talking about just the selfishness of it, 3 days is too much and it's too much of a burden for the partner and your child, I think.
Tell us about a Bucks party you went on, Nick.
I knew we were going to go. I can't remember how old the kids were.
I think Poppy was about 6 months old.
Yeah, I went to a 3-day Bucks party in Hong Kong.
In Hong Kong.
Did you write this in, Sophie?
And I did wonder if this was a planted question.
It wasn't.
And that's probably the biggest fight we've had. Look, I definitely was not party fit in any way, shape or form. And I got home, and sort of could feel the man flu setting in. And I was kind of out for probably the next 5 to 7 days. I really did try to tough through it. But, yeah, I remember the day I got home, I said to Soph, I'm really sorry, but I just need to have a nap. I'm just going to have a quick nap.
Yeah, yeah.
I just, I can hardly keep my eyes open. I think I slept for 3 or 4 hours.
I've
sweated
so
through the doona and blanket. And, I was in a lot of trouble. But to give the husband some perspective, if you're planning on going and doing that, it's going to take probably 10 years off your life. And by the time you get home and then you have to then help your already exhausted wife, you're not committing to 3 days. You're committing to a month of torture from your wife, but also for yourself because, don't recover.
If you're pulling off the 3 days, good on you. Well done. And just make sure you get the Barocca, get your Panadol and Nurofen.
Well, now.
Yeah, you got to learn the tricks of the trade. Yeah. You get these things, you pack your water.
And Harry knows he comes back.
Everyone writes you off for it, but trust me, you'll be winning in the end and they'll all be getting punished.
But we've learned throughout, 8 years of kids that Harry now knows no matter what time he walks in the door or what he does or whatever the night has for him, I do not care.
Yeah,
I don't
care.
Wake
up when the kids wake
no,
up.
No. He does not go to nap. He doesn't nap. He doesn't do. He has to soldier on. I don't care how hard his head hurts. He soldiers on, and he does. Look, he might rest on the couch and like watch the cricket and put the kids in the cot.
I am incapacitated.
But at least he's there and he's not whinging saying, I can't parent. Yeah. He's parenting kind of.
But I'm a pretty miserable parent. It's,
he's doing the bare minimum.
You're not, you're not your best self. You're not your best self. The cricket's on and
you're caretaking.
My partner hasn't given up on his weekends. He's a great dad, but all his friends don't have kids yet and he gets FOMO. What would you do?
Okay, well, I actually had a partner like that because Nick,
you still have the partner
because Harry
I was like what was this
because Harry was young he was young.
I was trying to sit there thinking, who the fuck's this?
Come in, Harry.
No one's asked these questions. The girls are just
saying, it's me.
Need to know some shit.
Who's this prick that got away with all this shit?
No, yeah. Harry.
Who treated you bad, mate? I'll get him. Yeah.
No, Harry was one of
X's
the...
X's are on nerds.
Anyway. All right, shush. Harry was the first out of his friends to have children. They're only just starting now to have kids. So when we moved to Byron, Mia was 6 months old, and boy, did this guy have FOMO. Like, he wanted to be out surfing when everyone was surfing. If there was something on, he wanted to be there. It was all sport related. Like, he just wanted to make sure that he was there.
I'd just done 5 years in Melbourne, though, by the way.
Oh, like you were in prison. Like, come on.
Often pretty much.
Anyway, so I... What was the question?
Gets FOMO, what would you do? Okay. He doesn't want to give up his weekend.
Okay, so if this is the situation, you have to have a sit-down conversation and say, look, I understand that, you know, your friends don't have children and they don't understand. However, you do understand and you do have kids, and we are a priority over anything. Forever. Like, that's it. And if he doesn't understand that, then there is an issue and you probably have to, you know, go.
I'm not doing anything.
Everyone's laughing, and I have a feeling sorry, that Harry's really good, being rude.
No, I'm not. It's a really good answer. I'm listening.
No, Nick just noticed Harry's finger again, and now he's
got a broken
it.
Finger, and it's all funny.
We'll put the finger up so everyone can see it. Anyway, have the conversation. I think communication is everything. And for God's sake, mate, limit your weekends.
I just think their allocated them time. So if that's how they want to use their time, obviously not all weekend, every weekend, but then you get time to spend on yourself, and then that's their time to
find
spend
the
on
balance.
Themselves.
Find the balance.
Can I just say, it took me probably till this year, like honestly, to this year to start working out that it's not this thing. Is this
it gets me, yeah.
It gets you every time.
It gets you.
Yeah, only this year am I pretty much getting to the end of,
8 years.
Of working out that it's better to keep everyone happy in your family and go without a little bit than it is to go and try to fit it in everything you're trying to do and hang with your mates and then get home and then they're unhappy and they're annoyed at you.
And here's a tip.
Finally, I've worked out that the balance of having a happy wife, happy life is a lot better than having fun with a couple of mates and coming home and getting, you know, fully in trouble.
And take your family with you. Hey, babe, I want to go. I want
to
go
come
to
golfing for 27 holes.
Fuck,
come on out.
When you play 27 holes,
27.
That's why it takes
Where
so
are
long.
You? Oh, well, that's another episode.
Yeah, well, this is what we're talking about. You get your day in. This is my day, Friday. If I can fit 27 holes in, that's up to me.
Sophie, my mother-in-law offers for her partner. The third partner in 6 years to babysit when she can't. He gives me the wrong vibes. How do I approach this situation?
Oh, gosh, I would be approaching this very, very directly. And whether you got creepy vibes or not, if it's not someone you're close with, you are so within your right. Like, even if he's the nicest guy ever, he's not your dad.
Of course he would be.
He's not really a relative of yours. I'm assuming if it's her third husband, they've probably got together when you've been older / maybe even in adult years. So you're not expected to have any form of dad-daughter relationship with them. I don't think you need to tell her that you get creepy vibes off him, because I think then that's potentially making accusations and could really open up some drama if you're not quite sure. But I would just say, I really don't feel comfortable with your partner looking after my child.
Please stop.
And it's nothing against him as a person.
Stop referring him.
Yeah. And I think that anyone you said that to, if your mum doesn't understand that, then that's her issue, not your issue.
It's her mother-in-law though, but it's the same thing. I don't think it matters who it is.
Oh, and if you feel like it's awkward coming from you, then tell your partner to have the conversation with their mother. Like,
mother-in-law's partner's even more separated.
Yeah.
That's even further along.
Hey, Nick. My partner doesn't trust my mum looking after our child, but I trust her completely. Example, he doesn't want our child riding on the mower with her. What would you do?
Oh, I don't know. Like, yeah, that's a bit of a tough one. It's such an individual.
Just don't let her ride on the mower. And
yeah, if it's just the mower thing.
If it's just the mower, to say, listen, the mower, they're fucking
psycho.
Dangerous.
Yeah.
I've got a mower.
There's actually issues with safety, I think.
Yeah, mowers and
well
motorbikes.
Yeah.
It's dangerous. That if that's the main question, it's like, yeah, sorry, I don't want to run my mower. But I think it's a bigger there's a bigger layered question there, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also boundaries. Just say, look, we love when you look after our child because they love spending time with you. However, we just have to implement some boundaries so we all feel comfortable. The mower is off limits.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah is off limits. Other than that, we absolutely adore you.
Wouldn't say boundaries, though. Boundaries is pretty confronting.
I always just think, like, I don't know. I don't feel like we stew on stuff very much. Like, if we see something, we're like, oh, can you?
Yeah, that's good.
We just sort of bring it up straight away. So there's things that, like, we let our grandparent, like, let the grandparents do, particularly food-wise, that we wouldn't feed our kids. But we're also accepting enough of those things. We're like, look, I know that's not how we would do things, but, like, let them have that.
Flexible.
But there's always points where we go, oh, no, seriously.
Like, seriously, like, it's 8 o'clock. Like, they don't need a Dixie cup.
Yeah. So for us, like, we just deal with it.
Like, they're not even asking for it. No, you don't have to give it to them.
My mum does that too.
Why are we offering your ice cream when they're perfectly happy and have kind of asked to go to bed?
Like, so I feel like if we saw that, I'd be like, oh, hey, like, I'd prefer if you didn't take her on the mower, like, straight away, you know.
But if that's just an example and your partner has legitimate reasons that they don't want your mum to look after the kids, you have to listen to that.
Yeah.
But then also say, okay, do you have another solution as to who could look after your child? Because it also shouldn't just fall on the mum to be like, okay, well, now you've got to find someone else to look after the child.
The other question was the grandparents smack their child, but they don't even smack their child.
No, that is
simple.
So 1,000% no.
Bueno.
Firm no.
I'd be smacking my
pants. So what would you say?
Touch it.
Yeah. What would you say?
Yeah, I'd say that's totally inexcusable. That's not your child and I don't condone it.
Yeah, that's not how we discipline our child if you do that. Yeah.
You won't be spending time with the child. No. Yeah. Something like that, I would be really.
Especially when they say, oh, but I used to smack you and you're like, yeah, look how I turned you. Yeah. Yeah.
And there was another question that came in saying grandparents make inappropriate comments, i.e. child's weight, calling certain food bad, what would you do?
For me, it's straightforward. You, like, so many people have different relationship structures with their parents. That's a thing. With my parents, I'd say, oi, mum, no more of the no more of the cookies. They're done. Like, I'd say it straight away.
And what about my mum?
Oh, yeah.
That's your mother-in-law. Right, so what would you say?
Well, once again, I have a really close relationship with your parents and, yeah, I can knock on with them hard too as well. And I usually have to, I have to beat around the bush a little bit more, probably with your dad more. But with your mum, I would probably tell her a bit more straight up, wouldn't I?
And yeah, and it's funny because it's personality. So mum and Harry are very, like, straight to the point and they don't mind a debate and an argument. My dad and I are very reserved and we avoid when it's just so unnecessary. So I think it would be harder for him to say that to my dad.
Well, we are going through this now. Like, it's coming into Christmas and one of my irks, and it's, we're blessed that we've got kids that get presents from family members, but I really want to lay down the law and say no plastic crap.
Just Chanel.
Like, we throw it out in a year, the kids don't use it. They're spoilt enough with the things they get. And I just want to say, like, we're going to Melbourne. There's going to be a lot of family members. And once again, we're blessed and we're lucky enough that our kids are going to get presents. And I understand there's kids out there that won't. So I feel bad for them. But I really would like to say, just less plastic and less crap and more things with intrinsic value.
Yeah.
That's, adventures and things to do together and making
memories.
And I'm going
to have to bring that up somehow before Christmas to Jade's side of the family. And if that's the question, I'm thinking about it now, I would probably just say, hey, guys, what were you thinking about presents?
Yeah.
I was thinking maybe trip to the zoo or trip to
that's a cool idea,
like something like aquarium tickets.
And I mean, you can be as direct as possible, but you guys also can use the excuse of like, oh, we don't have much baggage, so we don't want to be flying back with things. So can you gift them
experiences
instead?
But I'm a bit of a mediator with a lot of people because I like to keep the peace. So Harry's already been in my ear. He's always in my ear when it's birthdays or Christmas because he knows the kids are going to be spoiled by family. And for me, I think of the people just only thinking of, oh, what would they love? And I feel bad for them if, you know, you go in and say, hey, can you not buy them this, this, and this? They don't want it. And then they feel bad because they've gone out and bought it. Whereas if you, and I've said it to mum and dad we purely just want to do things based on adventures and experience. Doing things to experience because that is what they're going to remember forever. They don't need anything because he's right, we throw it out and it's so wasteful. So they have got, we got zoo, we've got aquarium when we're down and it's all memories. They're old enough now to remember them. So that's what we have instilled. But as for the other people, I mean, you've got to also just simmer and go, look, there's going to be, you know, grandparents or great grandparents that are going to give you a present that you really didn't want them to.
A few things I've already talked about too. Compromise is huge. Let them have a little bit of their way. You get a little bit your way. Yeah. And the negative positive sandwich as well. If you've got to tell them something, say, look, we're so grateful that those presents, they love them. However, this, however, you are such a
good totally.
Oh, thanks, boys.
Thanks for joining us.
It's been a delight.
Have you enjoyed being here?
I have.
It's been fun.
We'd love to stay and chat, but Sophie and I have a end of Beyond the Bump breakup party, don't
we? We've got our Christmas party.
Yeah.
We've got a tax deductible lunch to get to.
We've got to
get It's awesome. You got to drink a juice for lunch.
Woo. No, juice cleanse is over, baby. Woo!
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Everyone have a Merry Christmas. Yeah.
Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and we will see you back in 2022.
Woo!
Ciao.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Beyond the Bump. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe and give us a review. If you didn't, good on ya. You can also follow us on Instagram at beyondthebump.podcast to stay up to date on behind the scenes and future episodes. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.